Living in a 24/7 Society. Commentary for the July 3rd, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Genesis 1:31a. We live in a time when much of the world's population lives in cities. They often do so to find employment at higher wages and for the social life that those higher wages can afford. As a result, many do not experience idyllic scenes like the picture of the gently flowing stream accompanying this written commentary. Such settings may still be enjoyed by those who are able to grow up and live in smaller towns and rural areas. But often, even then, it can become hard to find the peace such scenes offer, as myriads, perhaps seeking what they have lost from their past, stream from the cities to the country, bringing city traffic and city anxieties with them. Even though, as the aphorism states, you can never step in the same stream twice, they may seek the peace and rest they once felt from former days. But the root of those memories may go further back than they realize. When I look at such vistas, something within me responds. I feel calm and filled with peace and joy. Nature seems designed for that purpose. Far from the jarring man-made noises of the city, in the country, bird songs and floral fragrances waft through the air. I can feel the tension of city life flowing out of my body. My spirit feels lifted on the breeze, like the butterflies flitting about. Even the steady drone of the bees, greeting each wildflower and blessing it with a kiss, seems to say to me, rest and enjoy the beauty of the day. Rest eludes so many of us anymore. It seems that since the invention of the light bulb, we have slept less and less as we burn up the hours of night in an artificial glow. In a more agrarian time, when most went to bed with the livestock and rose with them the next day, sleep and rest were orchestrated by those natural rhythms. Now, even the onset of darkness cannot gently urge us to rest. Television and the internet have replaced sleep as a nighttime activity for many. Sometimes it seems we have become a race of insomniacs, with the hours before and after midnight often being the busiest on social media. Repeating this day after day leaves so many so exhausted that when the weekend finally comes, they find it hard to muster the energy to get out into nature, where they might find rest and relaxation. For some of those that do manage to find enough caffeine-fueled energy to do something, even if they get out into nature, they try to fit so much into so few hours that they end up starting the week just as exhausted as when they ended it the week before. It reminds me of a conversation between Patrick Swayze and Sam Elliott in the movie Roadhouse. Swayze tells Elliott to get more sleep, and Elliott responds, "I'll get all the sleep I need when I'm dead." But it was never meant to be that way. When we look at the first chapters of Genesis, we find a lot of wonderful things happening. Each day, God creates goodness. But it is not goodness for his benefit. God can create anything and owns everything. He transcends time and space. What is one more planet compared to that? He was creating all that goodness for someone who would genuinely benefit from it. Mankind. Man's powers to care for all that goodness would be godlike. Then creating man in the image of God, he turned everything over to him. But the greatest gift was yet to come. He created and gifted to man the Sabbath. In many fantasy novels and role-playing games, when the protagonist steps forward from the mind of his creator, they are given magical weaponry or armor to set them apart from others and enhance their ability to prevail in whatever task they are charged with. To create tension within the storyline, the hero will often lose their magical items and sink back into normalcy until the item is recovered. but they never forget the importance of that weaponry for carrying out their mission. The rest of the Sabbath may be similar. Man's first mission was likely physically demanding as he cared for the earth, and particularly his Edenic home. The weekly rest was restorative that mankind might function at their highest level with the attributes they had unimpaired. But like the fantasy hero, as time passed, the special gift was lost. We know this because at Mount Sinai, when Moses was given the Decalogue from the hand of God, the fourth commandment, the one about the Sabbath rest, is the only one that begins with the word remember. The Israelites had become enslaved to the Egyptians, living in Egypt for 400 years. Their lives were no longer their own. They were seen as the property of Pharaoh. The Sabbath had been forgotten and the people had lost with it an understanding of who they were. Instead of the identity God had given them, they accepted the one the Egyptians imposed upon them, an identity that served Pharaoh instead of God. Even Moses, leader of the Exodus, had to spend 40 years relearning who he was and who God was before deliverance could take place. Like Moses, the Israelites also needed 40 years in the wilderness to relearn these things. During that time, God reinforced the importance of the Sabbath through the gift of the manna, the heavenly food provided daily for their journey, with the exception that it was not provided on Sabbath. Instead, a double portion was supplied the day before to last through the hours of the Sabbath. This allowed them that weekly rest that God had gifted to man in the beginning. God had no desire to lead an exhausted band of ex-slaves into the Promised Land. He wanted them at their best, but it was hard to change from the 24/7 expectations the Egyptians had placed on them. Working every day had become the way of life in Egypt, but the 24/7 work week meant they were owned, not by God who created them, but by the Egyptians who stole them from their creator. Some might question whether the Sabbath is still the same day as at creation, since the Israelites obviously forgot the day, possibly for centuries. But two things nail down securely what day is a Sabbath. First, the 40 years of Sabbaths in the wilderness where God did not supply the manna for the people. There is no record of them forgetting what day was the Sabbath after that. To this day, an observant Jew can positively name which day is the Sabbath. The other nail that fastens this down is Jesus. He also recognized which day was the Sabbath and attended synagogue on that day, as was his habit. While some might say that the apostles must have changed it, the New Testament has references to Paul, arguably the most active of the apostles, as keeping 84 Sabbaths. Some have said that grace means a Sabbath had been done away with, but why would that be when they do not make the same argument for any of the other commandments of the Decalogue? No one argues, for instance, that grace has made us indifferent to adultery and murder. The Sabbath commandment is the linchpin of the Decalogue. The first three commandments are based on loving God. The last six are based on loving others. The fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment, has elements of both. Keeping the Sabbath honors God who gave the Sabbath gift to us. And when we observe Sabbath, granting the Sabbath rest to others is loving them as we would love ourselves. We live in a time not unlike the period of enslavement of the Israelites to the Egyptians. Many have been financially enslaved to others through debt created by easily obtained credit. A seemingly endless supply of consumer goods are offered us with the idea that these things will enrich our lives. We reason that we should take advantage of the easy credit to have now what took earlier generations their entire lives to accumulate. Our eyes aglow with a wonderful new thing we can add to our lives. We do not see the golden chains being fastened about our wrists as we sign away years, even decades of our lives. In all too many cases, the debt outlasts the thing bought. Then when the newness is over or the item breaks, we finance even more debt to replace it. Like the Israelite slaves before us, we become willing to work whatever hours are necessary to service the debt we have willingly taken on. Even the Sabbath is forced to give way. The enslavement completes, a never-ending round of exhaustion sets in. But just as the Sabbath remains, so also does the Lord of the Sabbath, and he continues to offer the same rest offered long ago in the Sinai wilderness. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find more podcasts and the written commentary, including the footnotes giving the scriptures supporting the statements made in the commentary, as well as other commentaries like it, at our website at Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.